Hello, HHG. Hope you're having a great night. Let's make it better with a story by Tsundere Storm. A has-been riff on a Hellenic classic, we'll see how Charlie personifies Persephone. Let's make with the changing of the seasons a month early, as we learn about the undone and the divine. Chapter 1. The Story of Hell, Revised Edition. Once upon a time, there was a glowing city protected by golden gates known as Heaven. It was ruled by beings of pure light, angels that worshipped good and shielded all from evil. Lucifer was one of these angels. He was a dreamer with fantastical ideas for all of creation, but he was seen as a troublemaker by the elders of Heaven, for they felt his way of thinking was dangerous to the order of their world. So he watched as the angels began to expand the universe in their ways. From the dust of Earth, they created Adam and Lilith, equals as the first of mankind, but despite this, Adam demanded control, and Lilith refused to submit to his will. She fled the garden. Drawn in by her fierce independence, Lucifer found her, and the two rebellious dreamers fell deeply in love. Together, they wished to share the magic of free will with humanity, offering the fruit of knowledge to Adam's new bride, Eve, who gladly accepted. But this gift came with a curse, for with this single act of disobedience, evil finally found its way into Earth. With it, a new realm of darkness and sin, and the order Heaven had worked to maintain was shattered. As punishment for their reckless act, Heaven cast Lucifer and his love into the dark pit he had created, never allowing him to see the good that came from humanity, only the cruel and the wicked. Ashamed, Lucifer lost his will to dream, but Lilith thrived, empowering demonkind with her voice and her songs, and as the numbers of hell grew, so did its power. Threatened by this, Heaven made a truly heartless decision, that every year they would send down an army, an extermination to ensure hell and its sinners could never rise against them. But Lilith's hope remained, and her dream was passed down to their precious daughter, the Princess of Hell. As she grew, the Princess of Hell watched all that was around her with carefully observant eyes. She listened, and she learned, and soon grew to believe that she herself could accomplish what her parents had not, changing the order of their world. Raised on stories of Lucifer's lofty dreams, and endowed with Lilith's headstrong ambition, she swore to right the wrongs brought against her people and usher in a new era of peace between Heaven and Hell. Even when Lilith vanished, the princess persisted, looking towards the future and the day that would come when she would see her mother and show her what she had accomplished. When Lucifer abdicated his crown in all but name and retreated to the melancholy solitude of his workshop, the princess refused to give up hope. The extermination was a harsh reality that she could not accept, and she made it her young life's work to see it end, regardless of who believed in her. In her endeavors to save her people from the swing of the exorcist's blades, the princess dreamed of redemption. She devised a plan to show sinners the hope of a new future, one where they could better themselves and wipe their slates clean, at last gaining entrance to Heaven. There, she thought, they would live freely and fear no one. Many doubted the princess's capability, if not her intent entirely. Many more outright ignored her. Those in Hell had no interest in self-betterment, and those in Heaven had better things to busy themselves with, and so her ceaseless endeavors went unnoticed. There was one, however, who watched her every move, one whose eyes were cunning and cruel. Adam, the first man. Not only an angel of great power, but one with a uniquely personal interest in both the princess's endeavors and her very existence, Adam saw these attempts and laughed until his ribs ached. Who was a demon princess to change the way of things, he asked? Who was Lucifer's progeny to stand in the way of a scorned man's revenge? Adam remembered the events in the garden all too well. Although Lilith had fled his oppression and Eve had willingly partaken of the forbidden fruit, Adam felt jilted by them. To him, Lucifer's perceived theft of his first wife and the corruption of his second was a bitter pill to swallow, toxic as the rot in the roots of the paradise he had once called home. He himself had been forgiven, elevated to a position of power leading the angel army. And yet, it was not enough. Adam never forgave, and he never forgot. So he watched the princess, silently mocking her for the optimism and youthful naivete that drove her every move, shamelessly plotting the many creative ways he could undermine her and tear the royal family of Hell apart in the process. Despite his angel's wings, he had never been possessed of the virtue that was patience. But for this, he waited. Weeks turned to months, months grew into years, and years stretched into decades, time marching on and on. Each time Adam descended to hell, he looked for her. As his exorcists tore the sinners limb from limb and scattered the remains in the streets, Adam hunted for a hellborn princess. He was bound by the treaty not to harm her. But he did not want to harm her. He wanted to steal her the way that Lucifer had stolen his wives, molding her to his liking just as the angels had fashioned him of dust and clay. He wanted to own her the way he had never been able to own her mother. He wanted to invent 100 different ways to humiliate her, the way her father had humiliated him. Eventually, Adam found the princess. It was after an extermination, when bodies twice dead lined the streets and the rats of hell were just beginning to trickle out of their hiding spots. Adam moved quietly, quickly in between shadows far past the time he had ordered his armies to return to heaven. The princess appeared like a heroine and moved from one gaggle of sinners to the next, careless of the puddles of blood and gore as she knelt to tend to them, bandaging who she could save and saying quiet words over those she couldn't. She was Lucifer's daughter, to be sure, with his flaxen hair, snow-white skin, and his rose-red marionette's cheeks. She had a shadow of her mother's figure that she hid beneath modest, masculine clothes, and it did nothing but make Adam's desire to divest her of them that much stronger. Adam craved her, and he intended to sate himself on her. Bursting out of hiding, he approached, taking delight in the way she shrank away from him. At his full height, he towered over her, easily 1.5 times her size, and she cowered in fear. Her gaze darted side to side, looking for an escape that did not exist, and the fear he saw in her eyes excited him. He did not need to introduce himself, only unfurling his golden wings, both threat and promise, as he snatched the Princess of Hell away and took flight with her in his arms. She was no match against his power, his holy strength honed over millennia. Her pleas fell on deaf ears, and the way she squirmed in his grasp did nothing but make him tighten his grip. Lucifer wept when he was told what had become of his daughter, a remorse that soured to seething rage as he learned who had spirited her away. Lilith, swayed to return when word of her daughter's plight reached her, shed no tears, a hunger for vengeance stronger than her sorrow. When the seraphim were made aware of the crime that had been committed, they hurried to make reparations, going straight to the accused himself and finding the princess unharmed in her captor's home. Sarah, the highest-ranking seraph, immediately ordered Adam to return the princess to her bereft parents. She feared the future, should the unruly denizens of hell rise before the next extermination. For she knew that the ensuing battle would incur heavy losses on both sides. Chastised, Adam agreed on one condition. He would return the princess himself, vowing to correct his mistake and look Lucifer and Lilith in the eyes as he did it. Within the confines of his room, he informed the princess of this order, taking her hand in false contrition to offer an apology. As they waited for the portal to open, he took great pains to make her comfortable, offering his own bed in which she could rest her fatigued body, and his own pillow to lay her lovely head upon should she desire them. The princess, possessed of a pure and trusting nature, believed his lies and accepted his false penitence, softening her heart to him, cautiously availing herself of the comfort offered. "Surely she must be hungry," he urged, offering drinks to quench her thirst and food to sate her hunger. With a snap of his fingers, a feast of meats, cheeses, fresh produce, and desserts filled the table before her. Comforted by the sight of a fruit her father so deeply adored, she innocently accepted an apple from the fruit basket. Although she indulged as demurely as she could despite her gnawing hunger, in her haste, she bit too deeply to the core. Before she realized what she'd done, she had swallowed 6 seeds. Unbeknownst to the princess, as her fangs sunk into the apple's crisp flesh, her life would be forever changed. The moment the juice dripped down her chin and flavor bloomed like a flower on her tongue, she belonged to him. The heavenly food, offered by a high-ranking angel, had inexorably bound her to the heavenly realm. She had become Adam's, and she was none the wiser. Adam took great pride in his cruel trick, a masterful deception. The irony of its execution was not lost on him. Eve, in her hubris, had accepted an apple from Lucifer and Lilith and doomed herself as well as Adam. Princess Charlotte, in her naivete, accepted an apple from Adam and bound herself to him irrevocably. Despite the tartness of the apple's crisp fruit, revenge had never tasted so sweet. To hell they went, carried by Adam's brazen, brilliant wings. Clutched in his oppressive embrace, the princess was overjoyed when hills of downy clouds and golden light ceded to ashen ground and crimson sky, for that meant she was home, soon to be safe in the arms of her mother and father rather than her captors. As she walked once again through hell, however, her parents' exultation at her return melted to ashes in their mouths. Their precious daughter's skin, snow-white from birth, glowed brightly from within as if lit by rays of golden sun. So like Lucifer's own echo of a golden glow, it was a sure sign of heaven's hold on her. Hopeful that it was nothing more than his seraphic blood grown stronger within her as a result of her brief presence in heaven, her father tried to reassure his wife that their child remained as she had been. In an attempt to draw out her true demonic form, it was revealed that the princess could not summon it. Frantically, her father asked her what had happened. Had anyone hurt her? Had she signed anything? Done anything? What could have made her like this? With tears in her eyes, the princess swore that she had done nothing while confined to Adam's rooms. She had been a prisoner, fed only when it suited him, and had consumed only an apple while she'd been gone. 6 seeds, she confessed. Her fangs had sliced through to the apple's core, and Lucifer knew by the look on Adam's face what he had done. The saddest song that the Queen of Hell ever sang was the wail let out when she realized that her daughter had been stolen by the very man whose heavy hand she had escaped. Although the princess was now, by right, a citizen of heaven, the way that she had been made holy had been far from ideal. Adam would be punished, she vowed, made to answer for his crime in the angelic court. But justice could never reverse the crime. The High Seraph's proposal was this. In light of her position, the princess would remain in hell for one half of each Earth year to continue the role she had been born into. And for the other half of the year, she would reside in heaven as both a guest and a diplomat. As penance for their loss and in light of this new path towards peace, the exterminations would cease, provided that the princess be wed to a high-ranking angel. Who better, Adam jeered, than the man who had already claimed her? Although Lilith objected to the proposed arrangement, Lucifer saw no immediate way forward but the path laid out for them. Hesitant though he was to hand his only child over to the very entity that had exiled him, the very man who had mistreated his wife and would no doubt mistreat his daughter, heaven's might was considerable. Lucifer did not care about hell or its sinners, but he knew that a king was nothing without a kingdom, and he was the master of pride. Arrogantly, he sought to trick the High Seraph as he had swayed so many others, hoping to catch her in a trap. And although discussions stretched on long past the time the sky turned the claret red of nighttime, Lucifer's efforts to renegotiate were in vain. It was not within his power to undo what Adam had done. When Lucifer hung his head in defeat and Lilith's disgust drove her to abandon him once more, the brave princess spoke up. She did not want her efforts to be in vain, she lamented, and a refusal to reach an agreement would send them all to war. How could she watch that happen? How could she watch her people die by the millions if she had the power to do something about it? She vowed to, of her own volition, return to heaven and marry Adam, if it only meant that her people would be safe. No sleight of hand could hide what had transpired behind the pearlescent gates through which she'd been dragged, ringleader or not. No force of heaven or hell could change her fate, and, despite the fact that she had never given him her heart, it was decreed far and wide that the princess of hell would be wed to the first man within the month.